Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Eric Bogitsky, and today I'll be presenting my project titled Effects of Pre-Emergence Herbicides on Sprigged Establishment of Hybrid Bermuda Grass. Hybrid Bermuda Grass is commonly produced as sod in throughout the southern United States and other warm season climates across the world. The consumer demand for weed-free sod has steadily increased throughout the last several years, which leads to these sod producers having to control weeds throughout establishment and not solely rely on post-emergent herbicides during the growing season. One of the ways sod producers are doing this is by using pre-emergence herbicides. However, pre-emergent herbicides may actually hinder the grow-in and harvestability of sod. This picture here is a hybrid Bermuda grass plug that was treated with a dinitrile aniline herbicide, which is commonly referred to as in the literature as a root inhibitor and causes stubby root symptomology, as you can see here. Rosin et al. 2014 determined that several pre-emergent herbicides do in fact delay growing of hybrid Bermuda grass, those being prodiamine, pendimethalin, dithiapyr, oxidiazon, prodiamine plus sulfentrazone, and dimethylamide. In the same study, they determined that indazoflam reduced sod tensile strength at harvest about 1 year after planting compared to the non-treated. Fagerness et al. 2002 determined that prodiamine and dithiapyr delay growing. However, they determined that oxidiazon and pendimethalin did not delay growing. So we are seeing some conflicting results between these two studies. So our objective was to determine these effects of commonly used pre-emergent herbicide on the grow-in of newly sprigged hybrid Bermuda grass. And we hypothesized that pre-emergent herbicides will in fact increase grow-in time and decrease sod tensile strength at harvest. We conducted a study using a randomized complete block design with four replications. The experimental units were sprigged with Latitude 36 hybrid Bermuda grass on the 10th of May in 2016 and 2017 at a sprigging rate of 44 cubic meters per hectare, which is about 500 bushels per acre. Herbicide treatments were applied over the top of sprigs on the same day as the sprigging event. So we sprigged our plots and then applied herbicides on that same day after the sprigs were planted. These treatments were applied with a CO2 pressurized backpack sprayer calibrated to 374 liters per hectare, about 40 gallons per acre. Plots were irrigated immediately after herbicide application and then as needed throughout the study to grow in these sprigs. This is a list of our pre-emergent herbicide treatments we used in this study. They include a non-treated check, three mitotic inhibiting herbicides, those being prodiamine, pendimethalin, dithiapyr. Prodiamine and pendimethalin are commonly used in other facets of turf to control weeds, and these have been well documented to cause injury to newly sprigged hybrid Bermuda grass. Atrazine and simazine are two triazine herbicides. Particularly simazine has been used very frequently in other facets of turf, and atrazine has been used a little bit more in row crops than in turf. However, it is relatively cheap compared to some of these other pre-emergent herbicides, so we think it could be viable on sod farms. Atrazine plus S-metolachlor, for those familiar with the row crop chemistry by step 2, these are the same active ingredients that are in that chemistry. And what we're observing is that on these large acreage sod farms, we are seeing some carryover from row crops into sod production, even though by step 2 is not technically labeled for sod production. We included two formulations of oxidiazon, a WSP, a liquid applied, and a granular applied oxidiazon. The reason for this is the liquid applied has been known in the literature to burn the leaf tissue of hybrid Bermuda grass, where we haven't seen those same effects with granular formulation, so we included both of them. Flumioxazin is the same mode of action as oxidiazon. However, it's relatively new in terms of use in sod production. It has been used in row crops and other means, but we decided to include that as well. S-metolachlor is another commonly used pre-emergent herbicide in turf. It also has been well documented as causing injury to newly sprigged Bermuda grass. And then indazoflam we included as more or less of a treated check because it is very well documented that it is severely injurious to hybrid Bermuda grass. And it's even labeled that you cannot use this product until 16 months after planting. We measured percentage visual cover as well as spectral reflectance values biweekly, so every 2 weeks. Our vegetative indices we measured were NDVI, normalized difference vegetative index, RVI, which is ratio vegetative index, and a relative chlorophyll index. For purpose of this presentation, I'll only be presenting the percentage visual cover and the NDVI data. These vegetative indices were measured using a Holland Scientific Rapid Scan CS45 device with 5 subsamples per experimental unit. We also measured sod tensile strength in 2016 and 2017. The harvest timing was based on time after 100% cover was achieved. 80 days is standard. In 2017, our plots grew in significantly faster than they did in 2016. We believe this is due to more rainfall, better environmental conditions, better growing conditions for Bermuda grass, and better sprigs. So we harvested almost a full 2 months earlier in 2017 than we did in 2016. The sod was cut to a depth of 2 centimeters, and we measured 3 subsamples per plot. For each of those subsamples, we measured a peak force and a work to tear using the device you see in the bottom right-hand corner. We believe that work to tear is a more accurate way of representing sod tensile strength than just the peak tensile force required to tear it, so therefore I'll be presenting work to tear data today. The sod tensile strength device we use is similar to that of Frail et al. 2016. However, we did make customations just by ourselves. Sod samples were placed between 1 fixed clamp, pictured here, and a sliding clamp, pictured here. And the piece of sod was placed in between these 2 clamps and stretched. And every few milliseconds, a data point was taken, a measurement was taken using Arduino Uno software. A linear actuator, pictured here, is what provided the pulling force on the sliding clamp. And built in that same device is a string potentiometer, which measured the distance traveled between the 2 clamps at each measurement point. And a load cell, pictured behind the fixed clamp, and it's attached to that fixed clamp, measured the resistance force of the sod sample. Sod tensile strength data were subject to analysis of variance in SAS Proc GLM. We did determine at the alpha equals 0.05 level of significance that year-by treatment interaction was significant, and therefore for Fisher's protected LSD provided the mean separation within year, and each year is presented separately. The percentage cover and NDVI data were subject to a nonlinear sigmoidal variable slope regression model to determine time to reach 50% maximum response. Using the equation you see here, we were able to predict a 95% confidence interval of where these curves cross 50%, and that's what we use to detect differences between treatments. This is an example of one of those curves to predict time to 50%, with percent cover on the y-axis and days after treatment on the x-axis. These bars represent here, these are the 95% confidence intervals of where those curves cross 50%. If these, as in this case, if these bars do not overlap, we would consider this a significant difference between those two curves. So in this case, dithiapyr was significantly delayed establishment compared to the non-treated. Moving on to our percentage cover results. In 2016, this graph has days on the x-axis and our herbicide treatments along the y-axis, and these are those same bars that I just showed you in the previous slide. Once again, if these bars do not overlap with one another, that means they are significantly different. 2016, dithiapyr, simazine, flumioxin, S-metolachlor, and indazoflam all increased time to reach 50% cover compared to the non-treated in 2016. In 2017, we saw similar trends. However, as I mentioned before, all plots across the board grew in faster in 2017 than 2016, so they are shifted a bit to the left. And with the addition of prodiamine and pendimethalin, also delayed establishment compared to the non-treated in 2017. The other treatments, atrazine plus S-metolachlor, flumioxin, S-metolachlor, and indazoflam, all increased time to reach 50% cover in 2017. NDVI results, we saw similar trends to what we saw in percentage cover, therefore we believe this is an accurate way to confirm the results we saw visually. In 2016, dithiapyr, simazine, flumioxin, S-metolachlor significantly increased time to reach 50% maximum NDVI response. With indazoflam, these plots did not grow in throughout the entire course of the growing season, therefore we feel like we were not able to get accurate NDVI results, which led to the model did not converge for indazoflam in 2016. So it was too wide to detect differences. 2017, once again, similar trends. Prodiamine, pendimethalin, dithiapyr, flumioxin, S-metolachlor, and indazoflam increased days to reach 50% maximum NDVI response. Sod tensile strength results kind of threw us for a loop. We got some several unexpected results. In 2016, this is our work to tear data. measured approximately 6 months out. There were no significant reductions in sod tensile strength from any herbicide treatments in 2016. However, in 2017, we also did not observe any significant reductions, but we did observe several significant increases by some of these same herbicides that delayed establishment, those being prodiamine, pendimethalin, dithiapyr, flumioxin, and S-metolachlor. We believe a reason that this happened is when you're measuring sod tensile strength, we believe that is a measurement of the newest growth and the most recent growth in terms of rhizomes and stolons in the sod, and therefore there might be a time where these herbicide-treated plots that delayed establishment would actually see more recent growth, more new growth, and therefore leading to a short time where sod tensile strength might be increased. Obviously, I cannot recommend applying these herbicides to increase sod tensile strength. However, that those are the results that we saw in 2017. Several pre-emergent herbicides did, in fact, increase time to reach 50% hybrid immunograss cover compared to the non-treated. Those include our mitotic inhibitors, prodiamine, pendimethalin, dithiapyr. Surprisingly, simazine also delayed growing time. Atrazine plus S-metolachlor, as the label already prohibits use on sod farms, we confirm those results. S-metolachlor, flumioxin, and dazaflam all increased time to reach 50% hybrid immunograss cover. Once again, no herbicide treatments significantly reduced sod tensile strength compared to the non-treated in either year, and although unexpected, we did have several herbicides increase sod tensile strength compared to the non-treated in 2017. Does harvest timing have an effect on sod tensile strength? We would like to further evaluate this and maybe take a couple of those herbicides that increase sod tensile strength and take multiple harvest timings at the end of the year to confirm some of the results we saw in 2017. We would also like to evaluate the grow-in of other grass species after pre-emergent herbicide applications. On sod farms in Mississippi, those most notably could be centipede grass and St. Augustine grass. And we'd also like to evaluate the effects of various rates of these same pre-emergent herbicides on Bermuda grass grow-in and sod tensile strength. I would like to acknowledge the Mid-South Turf Grass Council and Sod Solutions for helping to fund this research. List of references, and with that, I will take any questions.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Eric, did you consider adding any members of the HPE inhibitor class to your treatments?
So the question was, did we consider using any HPPD inhibitors in this? This study was strictly for pre-emergent herbicides. Now, I understand maybe mesotrione would be a good one to include, but we were focusing on the pre-emergent herbicide treatments that we are seeing sod producers using today. We felt this is a pretty comprehensive list. That would be interesting research to do in the future.
So yes, sir. With Dimension, you know, you have that early post-action. So do you think if you delayed the application of Dimension, you'd be in a better situation?
So the question was related to Dimension. If we delayed the application, maybe we'd see different results. I definitely believe that we would see different results. I mean, once again, these were applied at sprigging, so on top of the sprigs. And we also used a common rate of Dimension. And however, I think that if you delay it, you could see reduced injury. Or Dimension. Yes, sir?
I missed it, but why did you look at days of 50% drawn and think your results? How might your results be different if you looked at days of 90 or 100% drawn?
So the question was, why do we look at time to 50% as opposed to an 80% or 90%? That is one way we could go back and rerun the data to see. I have not done that yet. We felt that 50% is an accurate way, and that's the way researchers have done it in the past, so we wanted to compare to past results, but that would be interesting to see. Yes, sir?
Mississippi, how many days from sprigging to harvest?
So the question was, in Mississippi, how many days would it take to reach, would you say, 100% cover? Or
harvest?
Well, that was something interesting that I did not mention in this study that we could evaluate. In the past, researchers have looked into harvesting maybe 1 year out. However, in Mississippi, and especially South Mississippi, we are seeing sod producers able to sprig and harvest within the same growing season. So that's why we bumped up the harvest timings to approximately 6 months to kind of exaggerate the results and see what would happen. So to answer your question, South Mississippi, they're trying to harvest as early as possible.
So let's thank our speaker.